Well, thanks, Micah, for that reading. Interestingly, both of those chapters dealing with faith, Habakkuk really initiating that, that spiritual principle of just living by faith. So we have before us Brother Matt, and I'm not sure which chapter he's going to speak from, but we'll leave that up to him. Brother Matt, for the exhortation this morning.
Thanks very much, Brother Sean, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends and young ones, we are once again blessed with this opportunity to remember our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And we have this relatively small amount of time to slow down and focus on things that are truly important and to look inwardly and examine our own thoughts and actions, motives, character, conscience, work and service, our walk in Christ, our lives before God. And so we'll be starting this morning in James chapter 1. And one of the apparent bookends of James's letter is this characteristic and aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, patience. So in James chapter 1, we just read it, but we'll reread verses 2 to 4. James 1, starting at verse 2, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And then near the end of his letter, James writes in chapter 5 and at verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And so, in fact, between verse 7 and 11 of chapter 5, he mentions patience five times. Now, depending on which translation you're using, I'm using the King James, you may have a different word in the place of patience, such as endurance or perseverance, which is fine and good, actually. There are two main Greek words used in the New Testament, which are translated as patience, or one of these other synonyms, which we'll look at briefly, but more importantly, when we look at biblical patience, when we read about it and think about it in the context of the multitude of places it's described, I think we would find that it is not a passive word. We can't think of possessing patient character as only ever being seated in a chair, quietly waiting for someone else to do something. We are, brothers and sisters, we're living in a time right now when patience is at a premium. I can only speak from personal experience and from what I see and read in the news in regards to the decline in patience in our Western society. It may be a global human trend. You may have had recent experiences, as I have, witnessing the utter lack of patience of your fellow human beings as you go about your daily routine. You may have had recent experiences, as I have, in noticing this lack in yourself. Perhaps feeling like you're being swept along to some degree by the current trend, whether physically out and about or in your state of mind and emotions. I find it to be especially noticeable at this time of year, as one of the biggest holidays in Western culture is nearly upon us. The rushing around without apparent concern for others is borderline tragic and comical at times. But I'm not just referring to people's attitudes when Christmas shopping or when Christmas driving. I'm referring to all aspects of our lives and how we treat each other. People in general seem to be turning more inward, the me culture growing. And so as brothers and sisters and disciples of Jesus, we need to display this characteristic of patience, possibly more than ever before. So what does it look like and how is it applied? And how does it factor in as we think about the perfect life and sacrifice of Jesus this morning and of the limitless patience of our Heavenly Father, God Himself? So if you're anything like me, patience is not something that comes naturally. Constant attention seems to be needed to possess this virtue. We will look at a few biblical examples of patience and, of course, consider Jesus, who had miles of patience, and how we are instructed that this characteristic is one that must be present in us for acceptance into God's eternal kingdom. We have already read in James 1 and the first few verses, which speak of the trials and testings that will come upon us, and that these events and circumstances in life are to be viewed with joy because by them we know that God is at work in our lives. Temptation to sin and the consequences of it is one of the ways this virtue of patience will be developed in us. God is molding and shaping us as vessels fit for his kingdom. Let's turn over to Paul's letter to the Romans for a few moments. Romans chapter 5. I'll just read Romans chapter 5 and the first four verses. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And so here we have a similar thought and teaching as in James 1, that trials and tribulations exercise patience. And I found it interesting to note that the word experience, at least in the King James here, in verse 4 of Romans 5, is the same word as trying, the trying of faith in James chapter 1, verse 3. So although we might be laboring the point from these two places in scripture, the character trait of patience is developed and exercised by trial. And also when patience is exercised, it brings forth other important attributes, in this case, experience and hope. Now further along in Romans in chapter 15, there are another few important verses regarding patience. Romans 15 and verse 4 to 6. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in a couple of very simple yet very key things to remember in these verses, the word of God, which gives us hope, will teach us patience, especially when we turn to the word when under trial. And God is the God of patience. He is a God of patience, which should be very comforting for us to know and remember. Now, the world that we live in is, for the most part, completely opposite to God when it comes to patience, amongst many other things. And it isn't going to help us in a loving and caring way to develop this characteristic in ourselves. As we've already considered, the society we live in continues to demand more of people in various ways. the speed at which things are expected to happen continues to accelerate. Technology, especially of the electronic kind, for example, proposes that our lives will be easier with it and that we'll have more time for other things, when in fact, it can turn us into very impatient people. The lightning-quick development of many of the things that we use every day means that we have come to expect and want the outcome or completion faster and faster. We expect that if we send a friend or colleague a text message that we will get an immediate or near-to response. When we buy something from an internet site, we want it delivered the next day. If the kitchen faucet is leaking or the light fixture doesn't work, or we think there might be mice in the attic, we can pick up the phone, hit speed dial, and someone will be willing to hurry over and fix that problem for us, even in the evening or weekends. We like our food fast, faster service at the shops, self-checkout to eliminate slower personal interaction, faster internet. If only that person ahead of us would drive just a little bit faster. So far, we've mainly thought about examples where patience is necessary in the moment, or short time frame patience. But the Bible speaks of another patience as well. And God is trying to teach us about patience that is also for long-term situations, perhaps a whole lifetime. We might be unemployed and need a job. Or maybe we've been looking for a marriage partner in the truth. We might have a long-term illness, which makes daily life difficult. Maybe we've been enduring restrictions on our once normal lives under a certain pandemic. We might have been diligently praying about the bigger life situations like these examples. Or we have prayed about them in the past. Or we may pray about big, difficult situations in the future. The question is, will we have the patience at the same time and trust that God will provide an answer? So some biblical examples that I thought of in relation to longer term situations and the spur of the moment reactions where patience was needed. Abraham and Sarah waited for years for a son after the promise was given by God. And Hebrews 6 speaks about the promise to Abraham. Hebrews 6 and verse 13 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Noah spent 120 years building the ark in preparation for God's plans and the flood. He preached to those people around him and endured whatever ridicule they threw at him. He must have been a very patient man. But we also learn from the life of Noah that we can be very active while also displaying the characteristic of patience. He labored and preached every day while waiting for the floodwaters to come according to God's time frame. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel 25. Remember this event in the life of David. 1 Samuel 25, and we'll start at verse 4. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. We'll skip down to verse 10 to 13. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, here's David's answer. David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. And we know this story, so we're not going to read the whole thing. We'll skip down to verse 32 and 33. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand." Of course, we know that Abigail came to entreat David in the road. So here David shows a great deal of impatience when he is determined to destroy Nabal and the men of his household. Abigail, on the other hand, shows great courage in entreating David and changes his course. And she also must have been a very patient woman, as she remained married to this fool Nabal until his death, and subsequently married David, who, although he was the man after God's own heart, was certainly not without his faults. An example from the life of Jesus, his temptation in the wilderness. I think patience played a part in overcoming these temptations. Patience, in part, to not react too quickly. He was very hungry and could have turned stones into bread, providing for himself. He was offered power and glory and kingdoms. And he was also given the opportunity to prove that he was the Son of God by casting himself off the pinnacle of the temple. Jesus refrained by giving answers from Scripture. So patience, coupled with the Word of God readily called to mind, is a fantastic way to deal with difficult and trying times and circumstances and the struggle to do what we naturally would want. So from the examples of Abraham and Sarah, Noah, David and Abigail, and Jesus, we have patience displayed in different ways. Patience with God, patience with people, impatience turned around by someone else, and patience in overcoming temptation to sin. And so before we consider Christ directly, I would like to look at a few more passages that I think help us understand the need for patience in our walk as people serving God, as followers of Christ. Firstly, a couple of Psalms, Psalm 40, and starting at verse 1. Psalm 40, verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." And the other psalm, we'll look at Psalm 86. Psalm 86, starting at verse 14. "O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. So we have a couple of Psalms of David that show us the need for patience with God and asking God to be patient with us, allowing God to work out his plan with us, not trying to do things by the strength of our own hands. And that God is long-suffering, and so we should strive to be as well. And then back in our reading in James 1, these thoughts brought out in the Psalms of David are expressed in James 1, verse 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now let's go back a page or two to Hebrews 12 and the first couple verses of that chapter, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so when thinking about our walk before God, the path that we are to follow, what kind of a race is run with patience? Well, it's not the 100-meter sprint with only one winner. We are running and enduring a collective marathon, a race in which we can all win by God's grace. Further along in James, and chapter 5 now, we've read a couple of these verses already, but we'll read them again. James continues in relation to the subject of Christ's return. James 5, and starting at verse 7 again. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Brothers and sisters, God is so gracious in giving us so much time to bear fruit for him before he sends his son back to the earth. He has been exceedingly patient with us. Could we find ways to be more patient with each other and with the circumstances we find ourselves in right now and on a daily basis? For Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And the outworking of that love can be shown to each other in a multitude of ways, patience being just one. Jesus was patient with all people he came into contact with. Yes, he still desired to see spiritual growth in those who heard him. He still rebuked where necessary. He was patient with his disciples. Quite often they didn't understand what he was talking about. At times they didn't understand what had to be accomplished that he was going to die and be raised again. In the upper room, they ate Passover, and Jesus was patient. He was so close now to being led away to crucifixion, and he took the time to institute this remembrance with bread and wine. Brothers and sisters, we can be comforted knowing that God is trying to develop a good character in us, one that includes patience. He has not left us to do this all alone, but there are certainly things we can and need to do to be active in our patience and endurance. God is preparing individuals for his kingdom that will all together have an eternal relationship with him. Let's not rush our time with God now or tomorrow or the next day, but take the time to pray and read, meditate and study without the distractions coming in. Remember, we're running a marathon, not a sprint. I would like to look up Hebrews 6 again to close as we prepare to partake of the emblems. We've been here already to consider how Abraham patiently endured. And so reading once again, Hebrews 6, starting at verse 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek.